So I'm back. It's been quite a while. I didn't think I would be coming back so soon, but this has always been in the back of my head that I wanted to restart this podcast. Part of it also is there's going to be a refresh with the website. So this is kind of a little bit of house cleaning here before we start the episode. The old website, thewaterpolo.com, it's done. I just let it lapse, and to get it back, I have to pay to get the domain, all the stuff, and I'm just not going to do it. So I've started the website on Substack. There's some things I want to do maybe going forward with the waterpolo.com, the, you know, quote unquote brand. But so Substack's just going to fit those needs maybe if I do that down the line. And it just costs, it's free. So I'm going to restart the website through the waterpolo.substack.com. There's a link in the show notes. Longtime followers, some of the stuff on there might be repeats as I just kind of backfill that website with stuff that I've maybe covered before. For a lot of people, it's going to be brand new. So it's just a kind of a fresh start. For the podcast, I'm still taking questions. So if you have concerns or, you know, things you want to talk about, technique, anything, questions, water polo or water polo goalie related, you can still send them to me to the same email. It's thewaterpologoalie@gmail.com. And I can use that to first write something on Substack and then make a podcast episode out of it. And that's the way it's going to work. Everything's going to go through that newsletter website first. Then it's going to become a podcast. And I'm kind of feeling ambitious here, but I might try and make some more new videos of these drills and other stuff that I mention in the Substack. And going forward, the podcast was never really a high production process. But just to speed things up, I'm going to kind of eliminate some of those little extra bells and whistles that they don't take that long, but they add up over time. So it's just kind of just me getting straight into it. And the focus of this episode is from a question I saw on Reddit a while back. And the guy was asking, or the poster was asking, I don't know if it was a guy or a girl, was there help looking for help tracking down a game of USA versus Japan from the 2020 or 2021 Olympics. And they wanted to show their team a proper M-drop. So what looked like a classic M-drop was not an M-drop. None of the national teams at the Olympics were running an M-drop. They were running a zone defense that I like to call the Brescia zone. I call it that because AM Brescia ran this against Pro Recco, and this was a couple years back, and I don't know if they did it in the Italian National League Championship or they did it during the Len European Championship, but they ran it to neutralize Ben Halleck and to beat Pro Recco. The classic M-drop usually involves the point defender dropping back on the center forward and then the two flat defenders moving up to the gaps up top. And there's a link in the show description for the write-up, so I have all these diagrammed out. And when those guys gap up, the wings stay pressed. And so now also your help on 2 meters is you have your center guard is on the back of the center forward and your drops on the front. So they're vertically stacked on top of each other. And that drop is also helping out shot blocking. And the two players up top are standing between two offensive players. There's a preference for who they want to shoot, but they're also putting, you know, backside pressure on someone that has the ball. They're jumping lanes. They're trying to force bad passes. They're trying to maybe get a backside steal. They're basically also trying to get out on the counterattack. So if there's a shot or an entry pass that can be stolen, or just a turnover up top from a steal or a bad pass, then those two players up top are really pushing this counterattack and you're getting a quick strike out of it. And the M-drop's really effective at that high school level because you have this dispersion of talent, to put it nicely. So you're going to find weaker shooters. And if you have a decent goalie and you exploit that weaker shooter, it's just going to feed a quick counterattack and a quick strike. So they're going to burn their clock on offense and then you just score right away and you're, you know, burning them out of your own defense. The Brescia zone is different. Now, the point could drop back or another flat defender, and that video that guy wanted to see from Japan, USA, Japan actually comes in from the wing to set this up. But what happens is that drop comes back to center, to the center, but this time the center guard and that drop are side by side with their center forward. No one's on the back of them. There's no real contact right there. You basically have four defenders on that back row. The wings aren't pressed anymore. They drop back into a zone as well. And then those two defenders up top, they drop back into a shot blocking zone. This is a heavy field blocking zone. And it's not designed to get that quick strike offense out of the defense. It is purely focused to shutting down the center on the other team and forcing the other team to try and beat you from the perimeter. And in that write-up, I have another image of how this defense looks and how many blocks each shooter is facing, not including the goalie, when they have the ball. Points got the most. They tend to have four blocks in front of them. And even maybe the deep wings can kind of help in on a near side corner. The two flats are facing about three blocks in front of them. And then the wing players themselves, they're facing about two blocks. And then they got that goalie in front of them. And just from my own experience with it is the Brescia zone is harder to implement than the classic M drop. You know, first, you need to be consistently effective shot blockers. If one of your defenders is not doing their job, then that whole zone can break down. It's a big trust factor to have, make sure everyone's in their blocking zone in the right position and not leaving holes in front of that cage. Second is you need to be good communicators on defense. This zone requires passing off drives. You know, no one's leaving their zone blocking if a drive comes through. They're passing them off. Versus the M drop, people are going to start picking up some of those drives. So everyone here, including the goalie, needs to be talking with each other and to make sure everyone's in the correct zone, in the correct blocking position, and that they're passing off these drives to each other. And as I said before, it's not a defense designed for breakaways or quick strikes. It's, again, just to shut down the other team's offense, slow the game down, and really break this down to who has the best six-on-six offense. Again, if you have questions about playing the water polo goalie position, training for it, coaching for it, send me those questions. It's thewaterpologoalie@gmail.com. But again, everything's going to go through the new website, the new Substack website first. So any questions I get, I'll try and write about it there, and then I'll turn it into a podcast episode. So make sure you subscribe to The Water Polo Goalie on Substack so you can get all the updates, notified when there's a new post, and when there's a new podcast episode. Thank you for sticking with us. I know it's been a while, and hopefully we're back for a good amount of time.